Hey, what's up, guys? It's the latest episode of Sneaker Spiel. I'm your host, Sebastian. I got my co-hosts,
Justin,
Josue,
Ancho,
aka Middleman. And today we're going to be talking about the top trending shoes in the sneaker game right now. And apparently, according to GOAT, the number one shoe right now is the Yeezy Boost 350 V2 True Form. And
whack as hell.
Honestly, the statics are way better.
Statics and the Belugas are probably the best.
The Yeezy V2.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like I know what Kanye is doing with this whole orange type, pinkish type colorway.
He's trying to make like pastel colors.
Yeah, and I like it. It looks way more vibrant than any other Yeezy that came out besides the Wave Runners.
Yeah, that's true.
Before they didn't like pop.
But like, it's just like, it's becoming saturated, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like what he's doing with the Yeezy price itself is for sure going down. I mean,
yeah, like he said before, he's trying to get everybody to buy.
Yeah, that's
what get a pair of Yeezys if they want it.
And I respect that because, I mean, not everybody can afford the Off-Whites. You know, all these top hypebeast shoes, but in general, I mean, seeing the Yeezy from what it was from like the Pyre Coves and like the Turtle Doves to being these shoes that are like what everybody's wearing, like the Stan Smiths now.
It's like, it's becoming kind of those shoes.
Yeah.
And 4 out of the top 10 are all Yeezys. No, 5 actually. Well, yeah, 4 of them being the V2s.
Yeah, 4 of them being the V2s.
And all of them being kind of like those pastel colors that he's trying to push out. But second, we have the Yeezy Boost 700 Inertia. And
those low-key, I kind of mess with the colorway.
I like it a lot. It's different. It's different. And in my opinion, it's probably like the Yeezy 700 model, I think it's probably like the best. Out of the like Adidas line, I feel like it's the best one.
I talked about these shoes already, on and off. 700s are not my type of shoe, because when the Wave Runners came out, I was like iffy about it. I was like,
I was on those when they
came out. The first chunky shoe that Yeezy came out with, I was not expecting much. I already saw the 750s and I was like, eh, yeah.
Yeah, like you saw those leaked photos.
Yeah.
The leaked photos made it look boof. Mm-hmm. It really did. But then when I saw them like in person and like seeing other people wear them, I was like, that's like different and I like it. And second, we got another 350 V2, and it's the Hyperspace, and it's sort of like a yellow with kind of like orange accent on the stripe.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of the those like really yellow ones.
Yeah, you know, those ones. The one that's like the Big Mac wrapper.
McDonald's.
Yeah.
Dude, those are so trash. I did not like this at all.
Yeah, see, look, I mean, now he's coming up with accent colorways, and it's like, I mean, at this point, I don't even want to get a Yeezy anymore. I was debating.
They're so played out now.
But if I were to get a Yeezy, it would have to be the V1s, the regular Turtle Doves, Pirate Coves.
Pirates, yeah. I'd get, like, the 500s or the 700s.
Or the Oxford Tans as well.
Yeah, Oxford Tans.
Those are hard.
Those are hard. Like, that's a color that people can't just pull off.
Exactly. You got to match it specifically.
You got to be able to know how to dress in order to wear that shoe. Yep. And then the next shoe we got is the Air Max Mars Landing. And this reminds me so much of the Lunar. Lunar ones. That reminds me so much of those. And those are so sick. It's such a cool concept. Yeah.
When these came out, bro, when I saw these on StockX on the front page, I was like, what the hell?
I don't necessarily like it, but like the concept is cool, you know?
Yeah.
Like it being Mars and
definitely with what I feel like sneakers are coming into is getting outside sources, because of course Elon just not long ago did test their Raptor 9 rocket ship.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean this whole thing about Elon Musk as well being like a whole icon and being you know, like an internet sensation and a meme
for sure.
This I feel like outside influences other than celebrities like Elon Musk sort of have this influence on sneakers as well.
Kind of like that collab that came out with Vans and Paxson, like the whole NASA thing. Kind of like that.
Yeah.
But those weren't too good, to be honest.
Sort of like this space exploration and all this space conquest.
And like the Tom Sachs.
Yeah.
Like the new Tom Sachs that came out.
The Toms.
That's basically an astronaut boot.
Mars Yards.
Sort of like
Yeah.
It was so
fire. I feel those like space so nice. Is coming into like this whole culturized thing now.
Yeah.
Which wasn't, of course, back then at all.
But now it's starting
like,
to get
it's
to
like the future. Like that's like whenever you see all those futuristic movies, like you see all this like space type of stuff. So that's kind of what it feels like now.
Yeah, like the Tom Sachs, like the first ones that came out, in my opinion, those are like, that's the best shoe to ever come out ever. Like the Mars Yard. There's just like, there's some, like, the whole theme about it and concept is so sick to me, and the colors just go so well together. I don't, there's just something about it. I don't know what, but in my opinion, that's the best shoe ever. It's not like a popular opinion, but it's just like, it's how I feel. And then we have another 350 V2 in the clay colorway. We don't even have to go over this one.
Done with this, bro.
Yeah, and then...
However, that's six with the breads. I see that. I mean...
Those are probably like the easiest and cleanest colorway of the 350s.
And we'll talk about them, but they are one of the most expensive V2s out there.
Yeah, because they're so... What's it called? They're so simple.
Yeah, they're so
like,
simple.
You can wear it with anything.
That's what people like. They love simplicity.
Yeah.
They go for that.
Mm-hmm. And so then on seven, I really like this collab because...
Oh, I haven't seen this one.
It gives like... It's such a good way of giving other people, and especially those who are like... Like women who are also sneakerheads, yeah. Like a chance to be able to collab and yeah. Like rock what they want, like something exclusive just for them.
Yeah.
And this colorway I feel like is really sick, and it's getting kind of like some criticism because sneaker brands are known for like having a shoe and just shrinking the size and making it pink,
yeah.
Just for women. That's sort of kind of what this is doing.
That's kind of what that is, yeah.
But
yeah, that's the vibe.
It's really what it's doing. But exactly. we've never seen a pink Air Jordan 6, you know.
However, yeah. I mean, with women type sneakers, like let's say the Serena Williams Off White collab,
yeah,
that for sure puts a standout in the sneaker community. As soon as those came out with the Off White collab, it was probably the most anticipated sneaker and the most loved sneaker by both men and women.
Yeah, because it's so different and it appeals to both genders really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. With the colors. That.
And so that was kind of like, that was like certainly like a mark for it. Like that, like how Mark said. like it's a standard, you know? And
yeah.
And it should go both ways with men also liking it and females liking it as well. But it's just really cool to see women get their opportunity as well,
yeah.
For mm-hmm. collabing on these shoes and just paving the way, you know, for other.
Yeah, and of course, like someone like Serena Williams, who's like a prestigious like athlete,
mm-hmm.
and one that has demand on the court and off, like her putting a stand front inside the sneaker community and into like big brands like Off-White to start off
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
That's insane because I've never seen anyone like that just start off that big. Yeah.
And also her when she was I forgot what tournament it was, but. She was Nike and Off-White designed specifically for her like her clothes that she wore during the tennis
yeah,
match.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was all like Off-White Nike right here, and that like it was just really sick to see because
so
no athlete really ever has done that with a collab between a designer brand like Off-White and
yeah,
Nike.
The thing with tennis is, like, you can have your own jerseys. Like, you're not really on a team.
Yeah, you're not really supposed yeah. to have drip.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true, though.
Yeah, like, tennis is such a... Not a sport that people pay much attention
it's
to.
It's not a flashy sport.
Yeah, exactly. And then what Serena Williams did with Nike and Off-White, it's just... It's kind of... It's making it more known out there.
For sure, in the tennis scene, everyone's getting, like, used to it. Like, wow. An athlete at such, like, high standards like Serena...
Mm-hmm.
Doing these collabs with Off-White, it's for sure going to be like, hopefully in the future, probably one of the top seen sports, or at least top 10.
Yeah, yeah. And so then next we have the we can add in all the have a Nike Day shoes, like the 97s.
Yeah.
And those, but this Air Force One right here is like, it's okay.
I think it's the most.
I think I like it though.
It's so simple.
No,
you know?
Dude, those are.
It's
like, cause they just slapped it on there.
It's lazy.
It's lazy.
It
looks stupid. Like,
what?
It looks dumb.
No,
I
kind of
mess with it, bro.
Like,
it's
kind of
dope.
I can see the city.
The decal is cool, but, like, it's just so simple. Like, they didn't do anything cool.
Like, when I say simple, I want something that looks clean, not something that looks like a child's work on the shoe.
Yeah, honestly, that's kind of how it looks. But
I kind
of
mess with it.
It looks nice, you know, like... Someone out there is gonna pull it off.
Well, yeah, I like the concept and all. I'm like, no diss to whoever made this shoe or the concept creator of
mm-hmm.
the shoe, but for sure, like, I mean, there has to be some meaning behind it. Of course, I didn't go into it, but just for off, like, looking at it and stuff like that, it looks stupid. Straight up.
And it's also writing off, like, the, like, did you see the 97s?
Yeah, I saw the 97s. Yeah,
and the Air Max ones, those are writing heavy on the Sean Witherspoon stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's writing heavy on the colors and that kind of stuff. Like, it's not the exact same colors, but it's writing on that type of color blocking.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, the 97s and the Air Max ones are okay, but they could have done a lot better.
I'm feeling like the color palette of the Witherspoons were, for sure, when those came out, everybody loved them.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, also in the materials and stuff that was on there, that was sick.
Yeah, but what Nike just did with this, I mean, sort of duplicating a shoe.
Yeah. That's one thing that Nike's been doing recently. It's like they're getting on the hype of everything. Like, you know, like the Off-White stuff, obviously, like the 10.
Yeah, of course.
Now they're starting to get normal models like the Blazers and stuff like that, they collab on the Blazers with. But they're trying to do like that Off-White appeal and deconstruct it and add stuff like that.
Just add more stuff. Like like last year's October collab with the Blazers itself with the Off-White tag. Ooh. And coming out with the new blue tags as well.
Which
is, I mean, aesthetic. But what Nike, I really do feel like, is doing is just, oh, let's just see this big, like, appeal on Off-White. So we're just going to make every single of our shoes Off-White. Oh, so
exactly. Yeah. That's really how brands are approaching it. Not just Nike, but, like, other brands are approaching it.
Yeah, they
like
have, like, this algorithm now.
This whole thing of deconstructing the shoe.
Yeah, and they see what sells the most, and then they just do that.
Yeah, and that speaks a lot to, like, the collabs that are going on right now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, like, imitating how Off-White is, like, how Off-White's doing their kind of stuff.
Yeah.
With the Sakai collab.
Oh, yeah.
The double sole, deconstructing the mesh on it with the trainer, and adding the double swoosh.
Kind of getting put out now,
It's all getting into that layering kind of stuff.
And this can go to, like, any company. Like, not even Nike itself with the Off-White collab.
Yeah.
If other, like, companies like Adidas or Reebok, or let's say Vans even does a collab with Virgil, it's going to go big at first. But then if they start continuing this duplicate type, like, motion, it's just like, what's the point of
this? It's not unique anymore.
And Vans did the same thing with their shoes. Yeah. They're trying to do like this,
like the lace,
this Off-White kind of sneaker, but it didn't have any name attached to it, no nothing. It's just some designer at Vans, I guess, just kind of said, let me take this idea really quick and put it on the shoe.
Copy your homework.
He said copy and paste and put it on the shoe really quick. Yeah, they put laces on the slip-ons, and then
it's just nasty.
Nah. It's just, and then also kind of like with the public school Air Force one, those were like deconstructed, and also the Cold Wall ones. Those, like, it wasn't deconstructed a lot, but it still had the same premise on it. And then another shoe that was, how long ago was this released? Like 2 years ago?
Like 2017, right?
Around
there. And they're still being talked about today. Like, till this day,
I really don't see this shoe around at school or around at all. Even when I go to downtown LA to go trade and stuff.
Because
they're so covert. They're so undercover. They're literally, like, hard to find. And that's what I like about sneakers.
So, like, unique and just, like,
that's why you gotta go, like, to round two. No, find them everywhere. That's where I go.
They're expensive, though.
They're expensive. They're like $700.
Resale is crazy. Exactly.
Oh, they're just going to keep going up, like, as years go.
I feel like it's an amazing shoe, but I don't think it should be worth that much, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a really great shoe.
No, honestly, I think it's worth the price, because it's just so unique. You know?
It's worth the price.
It's unique.
It's basically its own silhouette.
It's a little overpriced, don't you think?
It's basically its own silhouette.
I mean, that can go for all covert or, like, undercover, like, sneakers. Like, for example, the Revenge X Storms.
Revenge Storms.
I barely see those as well, and they stay at a steady price of what? $300 resale?
Yeah, around $300.
$200 for a regular price. It's insane how regular or just, like, sneakers that nobody even wears now are either going up or just staying at their minimum price because no one's even paying attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good for people that are hypebeast or people that are, like, looking to go into hypebeast.
Yeah.
To start off with a shoe that literally no one cares about but have been in the sneaker community and history for such a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what's also really unique about that shoe is that it was the first kind of hybrid of those two shoes ever. Of the 97 and the 1. So that even made it even
more unique than that. Trend of like switching the upper and the sole of different shoes.
Yeah, and that just made it even more unique than what it was using corduroy already. Many shoes use corduroy already as it is. And
you don't see corduroy that much anymore.
Yeah, anything.
In general.
Yeah, so it was really cool to see that kind of way he went with it. And also he's vegan. So he didn't want to use leather or suede or any of that kind of stuff. So he used corduroy instead. Yeah, that's why.
So let's look at our number 10.
So
number 10 is the Air Mag.
Yeah, number
Air Mag.
Dude, God, my favorite shoe of all time.
Now
talking about like a super iconic shoe that like 20 years down the line from here, we're still going to be talking about the Air
Max. From my favorite movie of all time.
Back to the Future, the second one.
Now, there is a hierarchy of shoes in the community, as we all know, like the Carhartt M&Ms.
Yeah.
Ooh. Those.
$30,000,
and one of them being now the Air Max.
Yeah. Would you put the Yeezy 2s in there?
The Yeezy 2s.
Like the Red Octobers?
Yeah. Red Octobers, for sure.
I think the Red Octobers should be discussed in the same category.
And we have our simple, like, Jordans and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the technology back then when this came out was so extraordinary of a self-lacing shoe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now with, the HyperAdapts coming out.
It's all just becoming real.
No other brand has really tried that. Like, only Nike has, like, gotten it.
I mean, they've gotten it to a point. Adidas has been trying that 3D printing stuff.
But it's
not as cool as self-lacing
shoes. Honestly, self-lacing is a gimmick, but, like, the 3D printed shoe is just, like, so much more of a gimmick. Plus, like, $400.
Yeah, and they're putting crazy price tag. It's insane. It's not worth it.
No, retail's like, what, $300?
Retail for them is either $400 or $300.
And with the all-green Futurecraft 4Ds, they're like $2,000.
They're nice, but they're not $2,000.
For sure.
They're not even that comfortable.
The exclusivity.
Exactly. And that's just how the sneakers are nowadays, exclusivity. If something's readily available, the hype is going to go down. So is the resale.
And to those who think that the more the shoe costs, the more it's going to be in the hierarchy, that doesn't mean anything.
No, not really.
The Jordan 1 itself, the Chicago, just the normal one, is literally like a centerpiece, like a precursor to every other Jordan out there.
Exactly.
Or collab. Like the University Blues or the regular just off-white collab. The Jordan 1 doesn't even cost that much. Around what? $100 to $120?
For a normal retailer, it's like Air Jordan 1, it's $160.
It's $160. And of course, it's not even that much as what? The Futurecraft, like we just talked about.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be up there.
It just goes to show how
much it's changed.
How it's changed, but also how relevant the Air Jordan 1 is and how popular and how nostalgic it is.
Rather than this whole society of just like sneakers. It created the obsession.
If I think about the first sneaker that comes into my mind when I think about all this kind of stuff is the Air Jordan 1. That's where it all started really, with Jordan coming out with his shoes and all that kind of stuff, and then basketball players getting their own shoes, and then it's just that's where it all started, really.
Before he like wore his own shoes, didn't he wear like Converse, right?
Yeah, he wore Converse.
Oh yeah. Also, I want everyone to realize that Converse, everybody wears a really old and historic sneaker every day. Like,
exactly.
Converse and PF Flyers were worn by basketball players way, way back. And of course, it was as hype back then, but now it's like died down because, you got all these big shoes like the UB.
You got all this new technology being put into shoes now. It's so prehistoric, but it's still relevant.
Yeah, so very relevant. It's like an essential, really.
Also, like the Superstars from Adidas, the Stan Smiths.
Like you said, with the Converse, off-white.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. The off-white Converse as well. I mean, going to depth with more collabs with like off-white, I think they should really tone down and start, creating their own shoe.
Yeah, exactly. It shouldn't get to the point where your shoe only sells because of collabs. It should sell just on its own. Yeah. So you gotta make your own colorways and stuff like that. And that's kind of like what I see in basketball shoes nowadays. Yeah, you still see your collabs, but like if you see like Russell Westbrook and you see his new shoes, they're not with collabs, but they're just themed really well.
He's doing his own thing.
He's doing his own thing, like doing a Game Boy themed colorway on his shoes, and then like Rugrats. They're not like specifically collabs, but they're just really good colorways and themes.
Yeah, and like
that people can get behind.
Yeah, and also like with Paul George, like the PlayStations and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's stuff like that. Yeah. It's not necessarily a collab, but it's just like you gotta so unique. You gotta make your shoe unique, but also you gotta
collectible kind of.
Yeah, sort of. But you gotta make it to where it gets mass appeal. Yeah. You know, and exactly. And it's gotta be not really relatable, but in a sense, people have to get it. You know.
It has to be relevant.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's and that kind of brings me to like one of the oddest collabs, I think, the Game of Thrones and the
Adidas.
The Adidas.
That was very awkward when I saw it.
I was like, this is really happening?
Dude, this honestly, I messed with like a few colors. Like,
a few of them
Jon
were
Snow, like,
a few of them were like, nice.
Jon Snow, yeah, dude.
They're icy, bro.
They're all whack.
You think they're all whack?
They're all whack.
They're gonna be overhyped. You can tell, like, I can just tell, like, there's gonna be so much, like,
you know this isn't gonna like resell well though.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's the start of the year. We've barely seen, like, you know, the best sneakers come out.
Definitely all the best and most hype sneakers come at the end of the year.
Of course, very
like all like the Jordan 11s drop, and then some Jordan 1s drop too.
Bro,
but just like this is one of the oddest collabs I've ever seen. To be honest, like Game of. I'd never think of a Game of Thrones shoe.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so crazy.
Like, it gets to that point with collabs and...
Imagine they wear it in the brands. Show.
Dude. Bro,
the future sneakers.
Jon Snow just come out with the drip on his shoe
the
right there.
The drip right on there.
Man. It's not from the
That
snow.
Needs to happen. But there's a lot of shoes that they collab
with. I think they're, like, doing it as well, because, like, it's the last season of Game of Thrones.
Six,
like,
yeah, it is the last
they
season.
They want to go out with a bang, really.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, now it's getting sort of sad now that, you know, the top brands being not even supreme at this point. Like,
bro,
literally in this whole podcast, we've been talking about mostly Off-White that has been collabing.
Off-White's because Off-White's killing it right now with collabs. They're getting headlined all the time.
Exactly. It's insane. And all these, like, past brands like Supreme and, like, what, Bape, they used to be so,
used to be at the top.
Used to be at the same time as
Charts. Nobody talks about Palace's name anymore.
Yeah. Palace has slept on. I still mess with Palace, but like Supreme's like falling off. Like honestly, the stuff they're dropping.
People are just
so
getting
weak.
Tired of all the
bro. They're just
all the mess
the same thing every time. It's just different color.
It's sort of changing now. It's sort of just turning into this, like, you know, culturized thing where Bape was a culture, Supreme was a culture.
Yeah.
And then, you know, getting a little bit of designer Off-White, and there was like it was fine. But now it's purely dominated by straight designer like brands like Gucci, Louis Vuitton, Dolce
and
Gabbana.
The whole Louis Vuitton and Supreme thing, that kind of revitalized Supreme in a way, sort of. But I mean, Supreme was still going up at that time, but that just made it even more insane. And with the endorsements they got with trying to bring Travis Scott and like showing off the merch and stuff.
Yeah.
It just goes to show how designer brands are starting to pave the way for sneaker popularity and stuff like that. And reselling and all that kind of stuff. So, it's just, these designers are, the shoes aren't getting talked about as much unless they're being collabed by one of these brands, you know?
Yeah.
Like with the what's another collab with a designer that any other shoe? Like the Vetements and Reebok stuff.
Reeboks. What else? It was the Bape and UBs with the ED or Adidas.
Oh yeah.
And the Dames too.
The Dames.
Dame Force.
Like they've been collabing, but ever since the first one, it started to fall off.
Yeah.
After a bit, people got kind of tired of the camo.
The New Balance.
Yeah, camo kind of died off.
Yeah, camo
died off.
Yeah, camo died off. Dude, honestly, like, I don't really mess with camo like that. Like, the Bape camo is like...
I never mess with Bape, trash. To be honest, but...
Like, Baby Milo, I mess with that.
Yeah, I mess with that kind of stuff, but you see kind of how that sort of trend is dying off now.
It's just, like, corny, in my opinion. Like, it's just cheesy.
Yeah, very.
That's
how I see
it. It was really, like, 2000s kind of stuff.
Yeah, like, Kanye, really.
Like, how... I know Lil Wayne, for sure, started off with that stuff.
Lil Wayne, yeah.
Yeah. But going back on to what you were saying back then about designers should create their own sneakers, it's very possible that, you know, you can still have your thing alive with your own shoe. It's not like once you create it, it's going to die. Pure examples of that were Gucci sneakers. Gucci has their own brand of sneakers, and they're thriving.
And that's kind of, and they're kind of riding off the wave of what normal shoe brands are doing and what's becoming popular. Designer brands are starting to do that as well. Like with Chunky Shoe stuff. Yeah. Gucci's doing their own chunky shoes, kind of dad shoes. Balenciaga's, triple S's. And then now you see Virgil at LV doing the shoes over there and kind of making it a basketball shoe.
Yeah.
And see, look, that concept about Virgil being this athletic collab type of person is very annoying. Because even though I like it, I like the shoes, I like the ideas.
Yeah, I like the shoe a lot.
But it's just like, you shouldn't do that. I mean, like, turning a designer, which is supposed to be luxurious, into something athletic is for sure not, like,
he's trying to make something that's, like, beat, you know? Like, that's
like, people are not going to even use it for athletics. They're just going to use it as, like, a prize. Just a trophy. Just
I wouldn't sit it there. I wouldn't be surprised to see, because, I mean, you see NBA players playing anything nowadays.
Yeah.
You see PJ Tucker playing Yeezy 2s. In anything, there's an NBA player that plays in
Nick Young played in Yeezys,
Air Max Ones,
and the Hyper Dunks as well.
Yeah,
all four Hyper Dunks.
So you see them playing anything nowadays, and I wouldn't be surprised to see an NBA player playing some designer shoes like the LVs that Virgil designed. Or those. I saw PJ Tucker wear those one game.
Yeah,
the Fear of God Nikes, and so it kind of, and also with that shoe, when it first got released. It got a lot of like criticism from Virgil that he was ripping off from the Air Jordan 3.
Oh yeah.
The bottom of the sole looked a lot like the bottom of the sole from the Air Jordan 3.
Yeah.
And the whole colorway that came out was like the black cement basically.
Yeah.
So it got a lot of,
you could tell it was like mad inspired.
Yeah, it was really inspired by Jordans and stuff like that.
Yeah, but it's like, it's crazy to see like how athletics and fashion are like colliding almost, like,
yeah,
like in but football,
not,
like
not also just athletics, but like also artists getting way more opportunities with shoes now.
I mean, it's not fair to the ones that do have the idea, like work their like hard-earned like mindset off, like Virgil. I'll give it to him, like with the Nike back then with the pretzels, the ideas of adding an extra bit of foam to the tongue piece and also adding a tag with the branding on the shoe was way insane. It was flashy,
different. At that point, nobody was doing that kind of stuff.
Exactly. You know? But now that if you're a celebrity and your name is big, like what, Kendall Jenner, Kris Jenner, most of the Kardashians, if you do a shoe based off of like what, a base brand like Adidas,
it's going to sell.
It's going to sell, It's because of your name.
Yeah, just off the popularity, it'll get some sort of recognition from a brand and you'll get your own shoe at some point.
Yeah, And like yeah, Charlie like Scott, like he's
an artist
getting big with Nike now.
He's an artist, and I like what he's doing at Nike. But you know, there's so many other people and artists out there who are specifically out there in their life doing this and not getting the same opportunities as them.
Yeah,
and so it's kind of, in a way, I see both sides, because you want to see your favorite artist get his own shoe, and some point in time you get his shoe. But then also, you kind of want to let these other creators and stuff like that get their own opportunities.
Yeah,
So, I think that about is everything we want to say for the rest of the episode.
Yeah,
we talked about a lot of stuff. So we'll catch you guys in the next episode. This is Sneaker Spiel. See ya.